Welcome to the jungle. All right, second hour is a good hour. They're all good hours, but especially this hour. 1-800-636-8686. We went back to back. We had two interviews in the first hour, so this is the hour you want to call. Phone lines are open. Hit them up. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. We talked about the national championship. You know, that game that everybody thought was going to suck, that nobody wanted to watch. One of the best championship games ever. Great, great game last night. Went to OT. And you never like to say, I think it's overused. Like, he deserves this, they deserve that. Both those teams deserve to win that game. But only one can. Virginia, an amazing story. A year removed from them losing to a 16. Not just losing to a 16, but losing to a 16 and getting hammered by a 16. And Tony Bennett could not have handled that with any more class. You know, in and of itself, that's something. But handling a really difficult situation with that kind of class is great. But to come back a year later and not only win it all, but to win it all the way they did and in such dramatic fashion, in three games in particular, says so much about him, them, the entire program, his system, the fact that it works in the NCAA tournament. I mean, it's an amazing story. Not just an amazing college basketball story, but an amazing story in sports. And I haven't even gotten to Texas Tech. They get their own take. I'll have that for you. Meantime, UCLA reportedly, finally, 100 days in, gets their guy. And their guy is Mick Cronin. And I'm trying to get your reaction to it. Look, fact is, they ran a pretty terrible search. They just did. Could not have handled that worse. I think they get a really good coach. I like him a lot. A lot of you may have an issue with this, but I like Mick Cronin. I've always liked him. This guy just wins. He just wins. And he wins a lot. And he wins in places where it's not always easy to win. And he just finds ways to win. And now he's going to come to UCLA. And let me tell you something. He wins a hell of a lot more than Steve Alford. I'll give you that. The Pac-12 is wide open. And he's going to have a chance to recruit in his backyard here in L.A. And his teams are always bigger than the sum of their parts. So I've always liked him. Always liked him. And I think he's going to have success here. But it's hard to say that UCLA looks anything other than terrible in the way they ran that search. This email says, hey, Rome. But I'm going to be very clear about this. The search was terrible, and I think they get a really good coach, though, nonetheless. Hey, Rome, I'd like to punch myself in the nads. Seriously, that's what it's like to be a UCLA fan. My God, what a joke this turned out to be. How is Cronin going to walk into a recruit's house and look them in the eyes and keep a straight face knowing that he was publicly the fourth choice? Dan Guerrero needs to move his retirement up 4 months. Unfortunately, the UCLA Regents wouldn't take a look at Patino, a guy with no buyout, who is shady as hell, but wins. And he knows this would have been his last chance. If they weren't going to get Bennett or Beard or Donovan, Patino should have been the guy. But here we are, going to be putting on fake smiles for the next 3 years and hope to make the dance and pray to make it a second weekend in the tournament. Wooden has to be turning over in his grave. Matt in Poland Springs. Look, I respect the take. I agree with some of that take. This guy's a much better coach than you're giving him credit for. His teams grind. They play hard. Hard as hell. And he's going to have access to better recruits. I think he's going to be fine. But the search could not have been handled any worse. I agree. Hey, Jim, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I got too many bleeping letters in my name right now. Regards, John Manziel.
I can't hear you. Just answer it or
not. Signed, Mikey Football in Buffalo. Dropping dimes on him. Other topics. Drew in West LA is in. He tweets, Chris Davis is 0 for 49. That means he's due for a major jackpot. Time to put more money in. Signed, Slot Machine Players. And then we get to elk. Jeff in Raleigh tweets, hell yes, Snags. The perfect repeat guest for the pod is always elk. I'm not sure how he'll top his Montgomery custard story, but I can't wait for the drop. At OFarmer119. Can't wait. We'll be refreshing Google Podcast, looking for that new banner over the Jim Rohn podcast. My man, it's good looking out. All right, so let's talk elk for a minute. You know, elk, the man, the myth, the jungle legend, the elk. Steve Elkington back once again, just in time for the Masters. Back once again and getting loose in a way that only the podcast will allow for. And let me tell you about loose. Elk is the rare dude that on that podcast, I can say and do anything I want. And I do. I know my room. But I even sometimes forget where I am and what I'm doing. Because I've done things on that podcast that even I wouldn't even do on Jim Rome on Showtime. And on that show, we did whatever the hell we wanted. We said what we wanted. We did what we wanted. The podcast is actually beyond that. And even all of that said, elk. And elk, look, elk and I are friends. Fact, elk and I are good friends. We go back so far. But as good of a friend as he is, even elk makes me nervous. And he does so on the podcast. Not here. He literally, where we can do whatever we want on a podcast. He makes me nervous. That's how dangerous elk is at times. So, you'll hear me say this on this week's episode. But if the Masters is a tradition, unlike any other, then having Steve Elkington on the Jim Rohn podcast the week of Augusta is a tradition better than any other. So go ahead and bank on this becoming an annual thing. Because we did it last year, and you're damn straight, we're going to run it back again this year. I already can't wait to do it again next year. If you heard last year's episode, you know it ranks on everybody's short list for the best podcast ever. And the 2019 version is just as good. And in fact, it may be better. How do I know? Because I taped it yesterday. And it's dropping right after the program today. Make sure this is the week that you finally commit to finding our podcast if you have not done so already. I will give away some of the episode right now. I'll even double up tomorrow and give you a little more sound. But just know that whatever you hear on the big show is just a small portion of what we tracked yesterday. So you're going to want to listen to the entire thing when it posts on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, JimRohn.com. Because elk went full elk. And if you've heard him on this program or on our pod over the last several years, you know exactly what that means. Now, we covered a lot of ground in this episode. I will get to some of it here. However, I am not going to bury the lead. For everybody wondering who elk is picking to win this week at Augusta, let me just push this out right now. Here it is.
Mate, the guy to beat this week is Tiger. You know, he beat Rory head-to-head in a match play event that he wasn't even playing any good. He was basically swinging garbage. He beat Rory with his mind. And to me, mate, that shoots a bit of an arrow across the field of players, which says, you know, Tiger just took down Rory McIlroy, the hottest player on the tour. And if he's anywhere near the lead on Sunday, you're going to have to deal with the cat on the back nine at Augusta. Now, it's one thing to be able to swing good enough to win at Augusta. It's another thing entirely to know how to win at Augusta. Like, I don't know how to win at Augusta. I finished third twice, but I don't know how to close there. I mean, he doesn't have to play that good at Augusta because he's so good at playing Augusta. He knows what to do. And I think he's playing good enough. And superior mentally, of course. He's already won four of them.
And yes, those were all actual F-bombs. One more thing. If you're looking for the podcast, I mean, I shouldn't have to offer this disclaimer. It's elk. It's going to be blue. It's going to be profanity laden. There are going to be F-bombs. Just know that. But on top of that, honks, there it is. He did pick Tiger before last year's event, but he's picking him again right now. Honks, you got to love that. Elk is going with the big cat for the second straight year to win his fifth green jacket. Now, what's really interesting about that pick is that elk was actually at Augusta in 97 when the cat won his first Masters by 12 strokes. And the last face that the cat saw on his way to the box on Sunday in 97 was none other than Elk himself.
And I'm in the piss of having washing my hands or doing whatever, and I hear the toilet flush, and f***ing cat comes out of the header, and he's going to the tee. It's like 2:30. I'm already finished. I'm washing my hands. Now he's getting ready to go. I didn't say a word, mate, because, you know, you don't want to spook anyone that's getting ready to play. He goes around me, and he's got the red gear on, and he's got the eyes are in the, you know, they're locked in. And I'm washing my hands, and I see his eyes, and he sees my eyes through the mirror, and I go, I give him one of those, lift my eyelids, you know. I said, good luck to you, mate. Get after it. And he looked at me with those eyes through the mirror. I thought he'd burn a hole through me. I mean, his eyes, the eyes on that guy were so intense, I've never forgotten it.
Literally. I know guys who can tell a story. I've rapped with some great, great storytellers. Nobody's as good as Elk. Nobody. 22 years later, Elk still remembers those eyes burning a hole through him in the John at Augusta. Incredible, right? So then staying on the 97 Masters, Elk also told me what it was like to see the cat take over the venue back then and the crowd reaction to him and how it reminded him of seeing Jack at Augusta in 86.
Just the scene, coming up 18, the people, the excitement, just the new era. I was there when I saw Jack, you know, play and just shaking my head in 86 and seeing that. Just a stampede of people coming up the hill and they know that there's a new kid in town, new sheriff in town. And by the way, that Saturday, remember, he was paired with Monty on Saturday, and Monty went to the press and said, oh, you know, this young lad, he doesn't really know how to play on the weekends in the final group. Yeah, well, guess what, Monty? He ran over you, custard. Flat, 75-65 for Tiger. So that was the end of that deal there.
That was the end of that bleeping deal there. You knew it was only a matter of time before Elk got to Monty. Because Elk always gets to Colin Montgomery when we chop it up. And this time certainly was no different. You already know the stories about the custard castle that Monty took out all by himself back in the day. But did you know that Elk may, in fact, be more responsible for Monty's career than Monty himself? Did you know that? You do now.
I kind of take credit in a certain way for getting him going on the tour, because when we both finished school, you know, he was at this little school called Houston Baptist, and I went out to Lochinvar Golf Club, all men's club in Houston, and Fat was on the range. And I said, what are you doing, Fat? He said, oh, he says, I'm thinking about going back to England and work for IMG. I said, what the f*** is IMG? He goes, oh, it's a management firm. We control all the players. And I said, well, let me tell you something, Fat, you should go over to England for sure, maybe go through the qualifying school, and if you get your tour card, good. If you don't get your tour card, then go work for IMG. And he goes, oh, you really think I'm good enough to try the tour? I said, yeah, you are good enough to play the tour. So anyway, there, the rest is history, mate. He went over there, got through the tour school, and won, I think, seven titles in a row, money list.
Perform. To hear Elk tell this, there is no Monty on tour without that pep talk at that Houston Golf Club. And if there is no Monty on tour, then there is no solo destruction of the custard castle years later. So the idea that Elk somehow coaxed the guy who would later become one of his biggest rivals into playing golf for a living is pretty awesome. Listen, I could sit here and play back every single clip from yesterday and be totally justified in doing it, but I'm not going to do that. Instead, you should go find the entire thing after the program. Find it, listen to it, and hear the uncensored version of it. Because if it sounds good on TV and radio, imagine it without the FCC getting in the way. Like I said, I'll run a few clips back tomorrow on Masters Eve, and you can hear Elk's thoughts on Rory, JT, Spieth, and his incredible take on Bryson DeChambeau. But I can't encourage you enough to lay out and get the entire uncut, uncensored episode later on today. It's gold, and it's free. Check out iTunes, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, JimRome.com, or simply fire up Google and search Jim Rome Podcast. It'll pop right around 4 Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Make sure you look for that. It's gold. In the meantime, if you heard any of that and you want to shout out to Elk, do it now on Twitter. You know he's big with you clones. Hit him at ElkPGA, at ElkPGA. Top of hour number 3, Greg Berhalter will be in studio, and we are talking U.S. men's national soccer team. I love what he's doing. I love the plan. I love the way he's working it. It's taking form. It's taking shape. That's coming up. And Elk did it again. He picked the cat. He's picking the cat. And we did talk about Hefty.
We see cat, mate.
We see cat, mate. Hey, Rome. Hell yes. Elk picking the cat fires me the hell up. I can't wait for this afternoon to hear the full Elk breakdown. War Tiger whooping Rory's ass with just his mind. Tiger by 10 strokes Sunday. Signed Damasio in Albuquerque, senior VP of Tiger Honk Nation. The thing about Rory is playing really, really well right now. Really well. But as Elk points out, you have to know how to win. You got to be able to know how to win at Augusta. And as of right now, Rory certainly does not. But he's playing really well. Dear Jim, Elk, uncensored? Okay, I'm sold. I'll subscribe to your podcast. You may as well, Roger. It's free. And it's awesome. And you do get Elk uncensored. Jaime, can't wait for the new pod. I was at Enron when he was bombing irons from the upper deck as Monty Doubtfire. However, let's recall that he did pick the cat to win last year. Hopefully he does not turn into Trevor Price. Stephen S.A., that was one of my favorite days ever. We were at Enron for a tour stop, and Elk dressed up in a dress and a wig like Mrs. Doubtfire, and he was bombing irons from the upper deck. I mean, looking back on that, I can't believe he did that. Or that that was a thing, and that happened. But it did. And we get into that, too. He brings it up. Come on, now hit me up. 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, your telephone calls. It is smack-off season. I gave you your date, June 21st. And I want to get into the Antonio Brown situation. Warmer weather is finally here, which means it is time for spring cleaning. You could spruce up the house and the yard, but for a real fresh start, get a Casper mattress. It'll help you wake up feeling refreshed and ready to enjoy this beautiful weather. The Casper mattress combines 4 layers of pressure-relieving foams for all-night comfort. It is softer under your shoulders. It is firmer under your hips for healthy alignment and extra support. Plus, the breathable foams are designed to keep you cool all night long. With bedding, bed frames, even a dog bed now, Casper has everything your whole family needs for a guaranteed great night of sleep. All mattress orders also have free shipping and free returns, so you can try your Casper in your own home for 100 nights risk-free. You'll love sleeping on a Casper mattress. So go to Casper.com, use the code ROME, get $100 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com, code name ROME. $100 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Additional fees may apply for Alaska and Hawaii. Terms and conditions do apply. Casper.com, code ROME.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. So I laid it out there for you. The episode of the Jim Rome podcast, which is now F76, is going to drop after the program today. We already put that in the can. Steve Elkington showing up as only Elk can. And he's got a preview of the Masters. 1-800-636-8686, toll free. This segment's brought to you by Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Separate business from personal. Feel more professional in your customer interactions with the Grasshopper business phone solution. Better small business communication starts with Grasshopper. Try it for free at grasshopper.com. That's grasshopper.com. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, that's the XR4TI. There's Hawk sleeping through the gig with that ridiculous porn stash. Come on, man. Hit that with some coffee. Wake up, bro. It's not that hard. It's only 3 hours. There's Alvy. There I am.
Dude, now.
Greg Berhalter in studio, top of the hour. We're talking soccer. U.S. Men's National Soccer Team head coach joins me in studio, top of hour number three. You want to look for that? I want to get into Antonio Brown. Man, somebody's got to take this guy's phone. I really thought that Antonio Brown was going to be fine when he got to Oakland. Showed up, won the presser. Showed up, was acting like the old AB. You know, the AB would show up and flash that 1 million megawatt smile. Let you know everything was fine. That he had done the work. That he was going to make plays. Said the right things. Was acting the right way. It was all good. It's a big lie. And this guy's changed. And not for the better. And he just will not let it go. I've got that for you. I know a lot of you clones are on Johnny Manziel. Know this. The quarterback formerly known as Johnny Manziel wants you to know something very, very important about him. Now it's John. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
That's right. 7 years after winning the Heisman, 4 years after taking his last NFL snap, and then after unsuccessful stints in the Spring League and the CFL and the AAF, now it's time for the rebrand. Comeback season is over. It's freaking pivot season, baby.
Pivot.
That's right. Pivots
pivot.
Making the pivot.
Pivot.
Pivots making the pivot to John.
Hey,
and
John.
Honestly, the only thing more ridiculous than dropping the Y is thinking that people will actually care. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
You do understand that just because you change your name, it does not change who you are. It does not change your past, right? It's kind of like just because you change the way you spell the word season does not change the fact that you cannot finish one in any league, much less the NFL. I mean, part of me doesn't want to get into this. Part of me does not want to get into this. My man got chucked from an entire football league and country. Mrs. John Football just scrubbed the dude from her Gram account. And now John seems to think that scrubbing the knee from the end of his name is going to be just what he needs. Just what the NFL needs to give this guy another shot. Good luck with that. Listen, if we're being honest, dude changed his name a long, long time ago. From Johnny Football to Johnny Idiot Face.
Johnny Idiot Face.
Then to Johnny Clipboard. And now essentially, it's Johnny freaking Suitcase. I mean, like, if the goal is collecting gear from different professional football leagues, then John is on the right track. If the goal is to play quarterback in the NFL, my man is so far off the pace that he's making his ex's half marathon look legit. Here's your bottom line, John. You couldn't rip a job from Jeremiah Masoli in Canada. Then you got run from an entire league, not the team, but the entire league for violating a contract. So when it comes time for teams to kick the tires on potential backup quarterbacks, I'm pretty sure they're going to be more concerned about that than the fact that you shortened your first name. Listen, what this guy did in college was electric. Absolutely electric. One of the most electric college players I've ever seen. But what he's done since then is straight depressing. And I'm not rooting against the guy. Far from it. Hell, what I want from this dude is to live a healthy, productive life. Do it as Johnny. Do it as John. Go by JP. Hell, cut that thing all the way down to J if you want. If that works for you, it works for me. But when it comes to playing quarterback, one thing is pretty obvious right now. John just isn't that good.
JJ, you're not that good!
The only thing that he's worse at right now than football is life. My man, focus on that. Because right now, life is kicking your ass. Put your phone down. Stop checking your online store. Stop changing your name. Just try to win today. Win today. That should be your only concern. Win today.
Hey, John.
I'm telling you, the guys who changed the name of Rome is Burning to Jim Rome is Burning cannot believe how lame that looks.
Burning.
Oh, I'm John. Oh.
Hey, John.
Well, why didn't you say so? Yeah, bring it on in. Let's talk.
Burning.
Hey, normally if I give you clones what you want, that's not a good thing. Hey, believe me, if I let you run this show, I would have not had a show a long, long time ago. You know, kind of like if the coaches listen to the people in the stands, they'll be up there with them in the stands. If I listen to you clones, I'd be a clone. But I'm kind of giving you what you want today. I know you want to talk about that, and I know you want to talk about Chris Davis. Chris Davis made history, the wrong kind of history. I will have that for you, too. I want to talk about Antonio Brown. What I really want is a good telephone call. It is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Greg Berhalter will be with me at the top of the hour. Top of the hour. We're talking soccer then. He's Batman. Alvy, he's Batman. Rome. This is in reference to Steve Elkington saying that Tiger Woods gave him the eyes. Rome, I hate it when players stare intensely at other people during games. Signed, Andrew Pettit.
For the love of God, would you networks please curtail the amount of extreme close-ups on one Andrew Pettit? I watched the playoffs last year. It's like every time this guy started, the camera crew shot the game like it's some kind of David Lynch movie with the camera zoomed 4 inches from Pettit's nostrils. It's like 36 times in a 7-inning span you hear the announcer remark on the intense stare of Andy. Andy in his zone of concentration. Andy with the eyes of a competitor. No, no, no. Let me help the novice baseball fan that only tunes in for the playoffs, okay? Andy Pettit pitches with his mouth agape, and he has the eyes of a goat, okay? I give him credit. He's a mean lefty. He's got a wicked sinker. But just because he glares at Posada like he's trying to burn a hole through Jorge's eyebrows with his mind doesn't necessarily mean he's any more focused than the other 8 a-holes wearing pinstripes on the field.
Such an amazing call. One of the greatest calls in the history of this show. And that was back, what year was that, Alvy? That call was made in 2002. Does that call hold up nearly 20 years later? That call, not only does that call hold up nearly 20 years later, I would challenge any of you to make a better call right now. If I've got 2 million people listening right now, and our research shows that only maybe 1 to 2% would ever call this show, I guarantee none of you can make a better call than that guy made in 2002 off the cuff. That's Jim in Fall River. I have no idea what happened to that guy. Dear Jim, Chris Davis hasn't had a hit in 49 at-bats. I haven't had a hit in 49 years. Yours, Don McLean. Brett from Bugaha. Wore Don leading Miss American Pie into the bedroom so he can show her his latest homemade quilt. The hell does that even mean, Brett? Like most of your crap, Brett. I have no idea what that even means. Yeah, I love Don McLean. Like, the guy writes like one of the greatest songs ever, but that's not good enough for him. Like, if you ever roll up on that guy and say, yo, man, way to be a one-hit wonder. Like, to that guy, it's a reason to go. Like, he will go. He will go. Like, look at the rest of my catalog. We have, Don. That's the problem. Dude, just go with it. You have one more amazing hit than 99.9% of the world could ever hope for, man. Just ride that. Just stop acting like you have other amazing songs. With that said, we take a short time out. Still ahead. I'll get into it. Davis making all kinds of history, the wrong kind. And Antonio Brown. I just do not get this guy on any level at this point. I want to hit that too. Man, I can't wait till the top of the hour. We are talking soccer. If I could spin that clock faster, I would. First up, though, I owe you a sports update. Bottom of the hour, here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back. Hit me up right now, 1-800-636-8686, or do like this guy did. Just tweet at me. Johnny Scabs tweets, Jimmy, Manziel can change his name to whatever he wants, but he'll never hide from me. Signed, Adult Acne. It's good, Scabs. And by good, Scabs, I mean that's a pretty stupid tweet. Trying to run a classy show here. I really am. Why won't you let me? Stephen Crowtown tweets, I'm all about changing your name for a good cause. Regards, Ron Mexico. And he had a pretty good reason. Adult acne, adult VD, whatever. Hey, Rome, the only difference going from Johnny to John, the only difference that will make is now he'll be a more adult-sounding guy with teenage acne. Here we go. All right. Yeah, I know. Proactive didn't want any of that. This email says, hey, Batman, what restaurant did you loot that you see through Coca-Cola cup from? I haven't seen one of those since eating dinner at the local diner with my family in the 90s. Brandon in the ABQ. Let me see. What are you talking about? Hold that thing up. Oh, there it is. There's his cup. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, what restaurant did you loot that see-through Coca-Cola cup from? I haven't seen one of those things since eating dinner at the local diner with my family in the 90s. Batman, where did you rip that from?
I'm Batman.
He said El Gringo in Manhattan Beach. Except he said it was a gift. He said it was a gift. What, that nobody gave you? That you walked out with? Because the restaurant was closing? They were getting rid of them? Or you just took it off their hands? All right, thanks for watching on CBS Sports Network. Somebody's paying pretty close attention. All right, so it killed me to have to do this yesterday. And if it killed me to have to do this yesterday, you can imagine how I feel about doing it right now. I mean, there's so many things going on in the world of sports. And yet, here we were yesterday, on the day of the national title game, talking about Antonio Brown going full on some social media platform yet again. And that going full included taking a pointless run at Juju Smith-Schuster. A run so bad, so dumb, so tasteless that it had other pros who don't play with either one of them weighing in on it. That bad. You know, guys that it did not concern at all swerving way out of their lane to take a run back at AB. But the good news is, Antonio Brown learned from the public thrashing that his reputation took after that tweet. He put his phone down. He has not looked back. He has not thought about it since. He's moved on. Oh, excuse me, my bad. No, what he did was he immediately jumped right back onto Instagram and he posted this. It's a screenshot of a direct message, a DM from Juju Smith-Schuster when Juju was still in college. The message reads, and I quote, "What's up, AB? I'm a receiver at the University of Southern California. I appreciate all your work. You're a great man, on and off the field. Do you have any tips that can help take my game to the next level? Thanks, man." End quote. All right, a couple of quick things to unpack here. Number one, I'm not a fan of publicly posting a private message at all. That was a direct message that was sent to Brown that was not for public consumption. If Juju Smith-Schuster wanted to make that public, he would have made it public in the first place. So to me, posting a direct message like that is bullcrap. And then there's the second part. The second part, and that part being, what the hell is the point of that? The hell is that? You posted a message from a then college student who politely and respectfully was asking you for advice. Oh, roasted! What a sick burn! Damn, AB. You lit that chump up. I mean, first off, I'm not even sure at this point what's more bizarre. Antonio Brown's obsession with Juju Smith-Schuster, or the fact that he thought that that message would actually be a winning message. The outside perception is that Juju has always been really respectful of Antonio. So then Antonio flips that on its head by posting a DM of Juju being very respectful of Antonio. In other words, I really do not see this guy working there. Juju is so in AB's head at this point that he's paying rent and utilities. This whole thing has jacked with AB's mind so much that it's confusing to see what he's doing and where he's going. Like, what is he doing with this? Oh, I got cracked on by everybody on Twitter for bringing up the fact that Juju fumbled in a game last year. Yeah, well, how about this bomb I'm about to drop? There was this time where he was a kid in college and he was extremely respectful to me. Yeah, how's that taste, y'all? Yeah, that's what I thought. Who's the bad guy now?
Tell me how my ass tastes.
And even better is the fact that AB posted that polite message from a college kid and then stood back to admire his work. He enclosed a mic emoji in the caption, you know, like a mic drop. Like, look at this fool being polite and respectful to me. Boom! I'm out of here. Shut it down. Let's go home.
Shut it down. Let's go home.
Hey, Juju, tell me how your politeness tastes.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
Like, I don't even get it. What are you doing with that? What's next? Posting a video of Juju helping an old lady across the street? Screenshotting a text of him complimenting you on having a good game? Hey, yo, everybody, check out this clip of Juju being nice to the fans and signing autographs. Roasted!
Out of here.
I mean, my man AB is so turned around right now, he doesn't know what's up from what's down. He's done to himself what he does to DBs. I mean, he's jacked up. Did he really think that posting a message of Juju being nice to him would be a mic drop moment? I mean, I can't figure this out. But maybe the thinking inside of AB's head is posting this proves that he's the alpha because Juju came to him for advice. Right. He came to you for advice when he was in college. That's what college kids do. And he did so in a really polite and respectful way. And then you out him. You out him. You out him for what? Being polite. How's that work? Once again, sickest burn ever. Man, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again right now. Antonio Brown needs to put down the phone. That's obviously not happening. No, somebody needs to do this for him. Somebody needs to step in. Somebody in his corner needs to throw the towel into the center of the ring. Because right now, this guy is a fighter who's out on his feet just blindly throwing punches. And the only time he's connecting is when he hits himself. I'm not even sure what fight he's in right now. I don't know who or what Antonio Brown is fighting for. He got exactly what he wanted. He's out of Pittsburgh. He has a new contract, a new situation, a new quarterback. I don't know what this guy's fighting or who he's fighting. I just know that Antonio Brown is losing and he's not stopping. This has always been a big AB house. Somebody step in and stop this fight. Somebody's got to stop this guy. Please, AB, stop. Hey, check this out. Check out this video I have of Juju blocking downfield for his running back. Roasted! Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you want to see a loser? How about this loser playing in week 17? Yeah, that's what I thought. AB, man, stop. Please. I don't want to have to do that. Believe me, that hurts you more than it hurts me, but it does hurt me. Man, stop. There's 2 hours. When we come back, the thing that I really want to do. Talking soccer, finally. The coach of the U.S. men's national team, who I think is doing a great job, will be joining me in studio, Greg Berhalter. That is coming up next. Do not go anywhere. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Hour number 3 straight ahead.